Good morning, Mrs. J.
Good morning, Mr. J.
Hey, we have a really interesting podcast, we think, but it's going to be interesting to us, too, because it's going to be on marriage. We think we're going to title it, What Does God Think of Your Marriage? And I think that's a really good question that we need to ask in Bible study, and it's one that we need to ask as couples.
Right.
And we've thought about this, so this is a little bit of the background. Oh, and what beverage do you have?
I was waiting for you to ask.
Go ahead.
I don't even know what it is. It's cherry lime flavored sparkling water.
Okay, well, I have my cold coffee because you won't drink cold coffee, so I get That's to right. drink it.
Nope, won't.
Okay, so in this podcast, it's kind of serious. It's kind of emotional, obviously. Because
I'd say it's really serious, not kind of serious. I mean, it's marriage.
Yeah. But here's the little bit of a background. We just had 40 years of marriage.
In April.
Yeah. And we didn't want to say anything. And by the way, it was on Easter.
Yep.
And on Easter, that's the resurrection. And if you could describe our marriage as a resurrection, I definitely would say that it was a resurrection.
Yes, it was when I found out that our 40th anniversary would actually fall on Easter. It was so touching to me, and I thought how wonderful and how detailed the Lord is to make a point of for us personally
yep.
of see what I can do, and mm-hmm. I've repaired it, and I'm going to confirm it with letting it even be on Easter Sunday, which was such a cool representation to me of redemption and what the Lord can do by taking broken pottery and putting it together.
Yeah, I like the way that you said that about broken pottery. So the thing that we didn't want to do is say, oh, we've got 40 years of marriage. Woohoo! Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah. And the people with 40 years of marriage are sitting back going, yeah, we got 40 years of marriage and it's been a struggle. And I think what I'm going to do is give you my perspective, Rick Joyner, okay? On we're going to be in Mark 10. So if you want to go in Mark 10, and we highly advise you guys to read what the Lord has to say from Dr. Baruch in Mark 10. We actually had a couple small groups on this
yes.
Via Zoom. So if anybody wants to join those, just let us know.
Yeah, we've been doing these Zoom small groups and just inviting whoever wants to come, and it's been very helpful for us, and I think very enlightening for other people. And just, you know, there's different people are showing up from where we live and yeah, outside Wisconsin. Of the state
yeah.
too.
So. Yeah, yeah, it's really nice. Okay, so back to my perspective. So we needed literally our house needed to be taken down and rebuilt as far as marriage goes. And how does somebody do that without the Word of God? I don't know. When we started on this journey of studying the Word of God like Baruch is doing it, I had no idea that the Lord would do what he did in creation and start to put us all back together in an order. But I think the thing that when I say to you, I think we needed a new foundation, and thus you have to kind of take off the old house. I used to say it kind of was like burning down, but that kind of bothered you a little bit.
Well, it made it sound like everything about our marriage was horrible, and it wasn't. That's one of the things that's I think is so tricky, is that you can be married and be going to church, being a good family man, or you know, teaching your children, helping them with their schoolwork, doing all the things that you think we should do in society to raise a good, you know, good children and have a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the your house can be torn down easily without the word of God, and it does get torn down, but it can't be put back together without the word of God.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because the thing that I see is we had going in, you know, you're in love and you see this person and, boy, you have all these dreams, and turns out this person has the same dreams that you do. And then you just hormonally and physically and stuff, you jump into this marriage having no clue what you're about to face.
Right.
And especially like having kids right away. Mm-hmm. So
we did right away. I mentioned to Rick this morning, when you first get married, it's for me anyway, and I think for most women, it's like you want to play house, and it's going to be really wonderful. And then the reality of what playing house really means. It's not like when you were a kid and you're playing house and it's time to quit. We can go do something else.
Yeah. It's not like that. I mean, you almost start out right away fighting each other's expectations.
Well, you get into two people coming together, which everybody knows from two different backgrounds with two different family codes on how to communicate and what things mean. And right away, that's why they always say that if you can make it through the first year of marriage, you're doing great, because all those things come out. It's like, what? You don't look at this the same way I do? What? Your family did this instead of this? All of those kinds of things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, you know, the biggest concern that we've had when we were going to do this podcast is we don't try to teach in podcasts for pew sitters. We try to share reality and be transparent about our struggles and what we're going through. And the answer to all of them, and you hear this in church all the time, is the word of God. Now, the problem is we were in churches for a long time and they said the same thing, but it wasn't real in our life.
Right. It's like, it sounds great that the answer to everything is the word of God, but how do you walk that out?
That's exactly right. And I think it starts we've said this in many podcasts, but simply, it very simply starts out by saying, Lord, you are the creator of the universe, and I need to submit my heart to the word of God. And I have a lot of questions, and it's not working for me. The way that it was going before is not working for me. So how can you, your soul almost gets really dehydrated. Mm-hmm. It's the only way that we've been able to describe it. So how do I, Lord, approach the word of God? How do we approach the word of God together? And the interesting thing is most Christian families don't have a problem praying together, setting the word of God as husband and wife together. And the Lord just convicted us. We study together and we study a little bit apart, but I'm weak in studying without you.
Right.
So the Lord, I just feel that this is something I need to shore up. But I think if we don't come to the word of God in that fashion, because I think Mark 10, which we'll just read here, but again, we really encourage you to go listen to Brooke's messages there as a husband and wife, because it's really good. If we don't start out with our hearts submitted to the word of God, no matter what that looks like, let him define it. Because I think the change in us was when we did do that and get serious about studying the word of God to become our own disciples, to become praiseworthy, there is a shift. And the shift is he comes and starts to take care of us. He's our king. And I don't mean take care of us like pay bills or anything, but our life starts to be.
Well, I think we start opening up we become sensitive to the ways of the Lord.
Right.
And all the ways of the Lord are always there, but we don't see them because we don't submit ourselves to the Lord and the and his purposes. So when we have that mind shift,
we don't mind submitting to a church or a book or, exactly. or our own purposes.
Right. It's harder to submit to the Lord and his in one sense in his invisible ways, because your affirmation from the Lord is different than affirmation from a man. It's not as at first it doesn't feel as inviting and exciting, and but it ends up being in the end the most exciting thing that you can experience, and it's long lasting. It's not short lasting like affirmation from man or affirmation from different things that we get from this earth.
Right.
So
and the presence of the Lord comes into our life, and all of a sudden sin that we didn't think was sin starts bubbling up because mm-hmm. his presence is there, and that's a good thing.
Right.
And you may as a husband and wife start clashing more.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that's healthy if you guys can learn, like we are, not have come to, we are learning how to communicate well, better.
Right.
Yeah. And so let's start out with a little bit of foundation. So again, the name of the podcast is basically, what does God think of your marriage? Because we need to hold on to that.
Well, and it's a shifting of your mindset too, because we tend to think, what do we think of our marriage?
Right.
Or what does other people think of our marriage? What do we look like to the outside world? But a lot of times we don't question the person that we're in covenant with our marriage, which is our Creator. What is our Creator who's molded us into one flesh and we've made a covenant with, think of our marriage? Are we honoring our marriage and doing what would please him, or are we trying to develop a marriage what would please the world and ourselves?
Well, I think, yeah, and I think let's just go to the basics. I think we, in a lot of cases, I came into the marriage and I thought you were going to meet my needs.
And I did, every one of them.
Time for coffee. and I thought, I think you thought the same thing.
Right.
That's an issue.
Well, because we come, and most people come into a marriage, you fall in love, and you do see things in the other person that give you a reason to want to live or want to be with them. But you quickly find out that that other person can't fill your need completely either. Just like nothing, it becomes just like everything else. It can't fill your need.
Right. And so we've all heard the stats, 50% marriage and divorce. I don't care about stats. I really don't.
But do say that the stats are the same for Christian marriages as secular marriages, from what I've read,
mm-hmm.
which is alarming, a little bit alarming to me, even though the stats, like you said, stats are just are stats. Well,
and I think when we come to Mark 10, that's what the Lord is dealing with here, is a society that treated divorce lightly.
Yeah.
So, or not treated marriage lightly. So the issue is, and we're not going to get into that. Brooke does a great job, and I highly recommend you read it again for the third time.
It's just going to say for the third time.
Yeah. But one of the things that I think we need to start with is, because once we started, our marriage needed a lot of work. And we decided to, we had a whole bunch of instances happen that could wipe out any marriage. And forgiveness was given. But we had to start looking at how can you repair this? Because we can't. And so we took one step. And that's one of the greatest things that the Lord has given us in our relationship, even with Bible Study Company, is you get one step.
Right.
You take that step and then...
And you focus on that step and you focus on what I...
That's
all the experiences that go along with that one step.
Yeah, and the step, let's define the step. The step is being obedient to God's word. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want divorce. He doesn't want it. So being obedient, so okay, Lord, we're ready to get a divorce, but how do we make a step towards not?
I always feel like I have to clarify that and most people do when they say that about not want, he doesn't want us to have a divorce. And you've always got to put in there
lots of circumstances.
Abuse and things that are not scriptural and that the Lord wouldn't want, excluding those types of things we're talking about.
Yeah. And if one spouse wants to leave anyway, because of hardness of heart or selfishness or whatever it happens to be.
There's nothing that you can do about that other than,
submit your heart.
Right. To the Lord.
And give him all that pain and try to worship through the pain. Psalms will be really good about that. But if you've got two people, and even if you're married right now and your marriage isn't what you think it should be, I don't care how long you've been married, or you decide as a couple, your marriage is great, and you say, you know what, Lord, what do you think about our marriage? Now, so we like to talk about the jawbreaker. And if you've ever cut a jawbreaker in half, it's layers and layers and layers of layers of all these flavored candies.
Almost impossible to cut it in half unless you smash it with a hammer.
Yeah. And
which is what happened to us, basically.
Yeah, which is what happened to us. And we're glad.
Yeah.
But the thing is that about the jawbreaker, and we know that the hardness of your heart, and the Lord deals with this, is selfishness and sin. So we cover, the longer you're married, there are things we don't talk about, right? That's the first thing that we learned.
Well, and to make a point about selfishness and sin can be many things other than what you might think they are,
too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so, but it would be better if it was softer, like an onion, because you can peel the layers off. But the softness comes from wanting to be willing and let the Word of God hit us hard. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that I wanted to mention in this is there are things that we don't talk about. We've kind of learned not to talk about. Now, I'm going to tell a quick story on some friends from New York, if they're listening. We were driving along. It was the very first time they were down with us down here in Florida. They were escaping the winter. And we had a lovely day. And we noticed that we didn't say anything, but they are kind of sharp with each other.
And they've been married longer than us.
Yeah,
long time, wonderful couple.
We highly, highly love them and respect them. So I'm hoping they don't listen to this. But anyway, as we were driving along one day, after a few days, the wife said in the back seat of the car, I'll say Jim, just for the heck of it. Jim, they sure talk nice to each other. And you know what? That started them down a road to really ask questions about, the length of time doesn't matter if we don't talk about the real issues.
Well, the length of time gives way
hardness.
And it gives way for more kind of chipping away at each other and kind of knowing where to push each other's buttons and jab at each other. So you can become even more hardened, like you said, the more years I guess what I'm trying to say is that you can't pat yourself on the shoulder and say, yes, well, we made 40 years. Look at us.
Yeah.
It's great because it's a great commitment, but you can white knuckle
a marriage,
a long marriage, but you can't have a long, healthy marriage without the power of God and change.
Right. And when you were saying that about have 40 years, I was thinking of throwing a cat in a dryer. And then when you open the door, the cat's going to be like, ah! So that's us after 40 years. So if you want that mental picture. But anyway, God's done, as we submitted our hearts to the Lord and we knew our marriage wasn't at the best, we started to realize, the Lord started to show us that we are one flesh. And how do we walk that out?
Yeah, and you hear that all the time. You're one flesh, and how do you walk out one flesh? What does that mean? What does it mean to you?
Well, and the scripture says it's a mystery, and in Malachi 2, I think we have a hint of that if you guys want to go read that. But it basically talks about divorce, and it also talks about And we're going to get to God's plan here. But the interesting thing is that two people come together, and when they make a covenant, he drops his spirit in the middle of that. And that's kind of what the scripture is saying. And Brooke would probably have a fit that I was saying that. But just go read it for yourself. But it really showed me that if this one flesh... So in when we get married, and maybe if you're a secular, it happens too, but if you get married and you do it before God, he drops his spirit there, and he wants that protected because he's taking two individuals and he's building a house. Mm-hmm. So there's three people in the middle of this, not just the two. And so I think we need to take it really seriously when the Word of God says you become one flesh. That's a step. That's one of the steps. Okay, Lord, if that's true, we need a lot of work. How can you help us?
Right.
And so if you look at the very beginning of Scripture and all the way through, he's building a house. He wants to dwell with us. And the tabernacle in the wilderness is his house. Mm-hmm. And we can relate to his house. He makes families for us to relate to and to be a witness out to. And we have, and I like what you said this morning when we were talking about this. You said we need to be bearing fruit for the kingdom of God in our marriage. And so for everybody out there, that is a challenge for you guys for all of us to look at. Right. Is how are we going to bear fruit? It's not we who are bearing fruit, but how can God bear fruit in our lives?
Through our marriage.
Right. Yeah. And kids are a type of fruit. Right. And Brooke says in his talks, if we are supposedly, and he was angry at the disciples for not wanting the kids to come up.
The Lord mm-hmm. was, yeah.
And Brooke said something sort of devastating, and that is if your life is pushing people away, especially children, to Christ, there are some problems. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, and it shows the seriousness of our marriage. We have a responsibility in our marriage to help, through our marriage, point our children to Christ. And a lot of that comes through observation of how we interact and what we do in our marriage together.
Right.
And I don't think we take that seriously. A lot of times we think, well, the way that we... which these other things are true too, but the way that we raise our children is to make sure, you know, let's do devotions at the table. We pray before they go to bed at nighttime. We'll take them to church. We'll do those types of things. But probably the biggest area of pointing our children to Christ is the way that we as a husband and wife treat each other and our marriage before the Lord.
Yes, I totally agree with that. The other thing that I think, to get a broad perspective, the Lord allowed us, all of us, to be born into this world at this time. And he made us specifically for this time to serve him and worship him. Mm-hmm. We don't need a ministry. We don't need a career. Don't go quit your jobs. That's not what I'm saying. Wherever you are, he wants us to be singular focused on him, because we have, let's just say, 85 years.
And that's if we're lucky.
That's if we're lucky, yeah. Right? We have 85 years, and Brooke makes this point. We need the long view, because he put us on this earth to serve him, and we all come to Christ at different times in our life. But we have the opportunity while on this earth, husband and wife, to glorify our Father in heaven, right, and to bear fruit for him. And fruit is what the Word of God brings forth in our life, mm-hmm, in a sense. So that's the first place we can come to.
Right.
In any marriage, good, bad, in between, broken up, whatever, we can come to that point where we say we need to submit our hearts to the Lord. Now, let's just do a couple practical things. The first thing is how men and women look at it. I'm willing to speak for me as man. I know I was wounded many, many times because of things that were said. You too. Okay, granted. What I learned about myself is the wounds that I had as a man, from a man's perspective, is in whether you respected me or not.
Right.
If you wanted to wound me, all you had to do is disrespect me. Now, today, in the work that the Lord's done in our life, whenever I sense something off in that disrespect area, I can choose not to be disrespected. But I will ask you now. I'll say, I sense, tell me if it's true, because we try not to project onto each other. Right. What each other, there's no projection. We try not to project. We only ask. That's another thing you can watch for. We try to ask each other if what I'm sensing is what they're thinking. And if they say yes, then we need to talk through that issue of why you are feeling like there's something I'm doing that causes you disrespect.
Right. And that's one
because
of the,
that's a red flag for me
right.
to fix. But that also, I'm going to make this point. Men, I'm going to tell you this right now. Women, our wives, want nothing more. Well, they want a lot of things. But they want us to be dialed in to what they're thinking and what they're, how they view us.
We want to feel cherished and cared for.
Right. But if you say that to a man, that is so.
I know.
But see, that's how you take us listening to you. You
right,
see what I mean?
Right. Well, this is a good time to bring in the sponge.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Because we were at a marriage conference or seminar or whatever you want to call it. And they did a little experiment, the counselors there, where they had a sponge that was glued together. One side was yellow and the other side was red. They called a couple up and the couple couldn't tell if it was red and yellow. They just thought the sponge was either red or yellow. And then they sat them beside each other and we all sat back and watched. And the one person would say to the husband, "What color is the sponge?" And he would say red. And you'd see the look on the wife's, face. And it was like, "What are you talking about? It's yellow." And they would go back and forth and, frustrated. And then they turned the sponge around and showed the other spouse what the color was and made the point that mm-hmm. we can both honestly be looking at something and it's the same sponge, but it's from a different perspective because one is woman, one is female. You're female and one is male, and the importance of understanding that so that you can step out of yourself and look at what your partner may be going through the way that God created them, which I think is a really good example of how to, actually physically, tangibly see something of how men and women are different. And that's a good thing.
It's a really good thing. And it really helped us because we tried to step into each other's heads. But one thing I will say
in fact, I have the sponge. I keep the sponge on my headboard as a reminder because it was such a good illustration to me.
Yeah. And then there was also the jar of trust marbles.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Where
when our grandkids grabbed a hold of those. I don't have those anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But I liked it because you could, if somebody wasn't honest in a conversation or they had an agenda or something, you could say, you know what? I'm taking some of your, because you want to build trust in your life.
Yeah.
Because if you can't trust somebody, that's an issue. And so that's a red flag. Anything that we bring up is just a red flag that the Lord wants to work on.
Well, and for me, understanding when you say disrespect, because I'm a person who I don't yell or call names. I never have. So I always think I haven't been disrespectful. And then you learn how you can disrespect your husband without saying a word.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Lord has to reveal those types of things. And I think most women, all of us know how we all know how to push our husband's buttons. And some personalities are different where they can just scream and yell. And some are very subtle and quiet. They can get their point across real well how to let their husband know that they're disrespecting them.
Right. And I'm just going to say this in the podcast because I wanted to get into some practical things. There's so much. But one of the things that's very interesting to me is I learned through a series of events in talking to some people and in our marriage, of actually getting really angry at people. And one of the things that I what was revealed to me is Dr. Les Carter has a book that called The Anger Trap. Highly recommend it. But why do we get angry? And one of the two things happen for me. One is, if I feel somebody's disrespecting me, that's when I get angry. But it's my choice to get angry.
Right.
So that's one of the things that the Lord's really helping me with.
Like you said, that's a red flag for you to think what's really going on.
Yeah, and we've had some discussions after learning this that she would say something to me and it'd be a little dig. And you got to watch out for passive aggressive digs too, because they all have meaning, and you guys got to make a rule in your family that you're not going to be passive aggressive, because it just means that the person who's being passive aggressive is angry about something, but they don't either know how to communicate it, or they don't want to be honest about what they're thinking, right. or you've got a history of the jawbreaker where you can't talk about stuff.
Right. You just add one more layer of hurt.
And those layers of hurt end up in people leaving marriages. Mm-hmm. So would you remember what I was talking about? Oh.
I don't know where you were heading with that.
The passive aggressive stuff?
That we have to be careful with that in the mm-hmm. in our marriages or... Oh,
the self-respect. So we had a situation and you were talking, and I know when you're kind of in your sort of, you go into an authoritative...
Can you imagine that?
You know, you're doing this and this.
I can do
this.
It real well when I'm in my business mode.
Yeah, really well, really well. I think I just clipped the mic. But anyway, the thing that's really interesting to me is I said to you, honey, you're saying this to me, and I'm going to choose not to be self or disrespected and get angry. So I would like you to further explain what you're doing, because I'm on the borderline. Mm-hmm. Because if you are being disrespectful to me, I want to know why. See, and those are... That coming from that is monumental times of healing,
right?
That the Lord has done. And Deuteronomy,
we've had some wonderful. Sorry for interrupting, but we've had some wonderful conversations out of a point like that, where you've stopped and said, you know, I've sensed that, you know, that I feel disrespected, and there's something. What's going on? And I'll have to stop and think. And sometimes there's something going on, sometimes there isn't. But what it always usually does is causes a conversation that brings something up, and we can resolve an issue that we didn't even know we had.
Mm-hmm. And guys, here's the thing. I have a wife that has such high logic that sometimes she doesn't even know what she's thinking. And so I'll smile at her and say, I know exactly what you're thinking. Well, I'm not thinking like that, and I'm not feeling like that. Yeah, I guess I am. So, but that's what I'm saying, that being dialed in like that, because we're such accomplishers that we want to fix stuff.
You just want to fix it, hurry up, get it out there, and let me fix it so I can move on.
You got a problem, wife? You know, let's get over it. Let's move on. We got stuff to do. Well, that's not how they operate, because I think you guys are, I've said this a thousand times. I think women were born with police officers inside of them.
Well, we were supposed to be your helpmate and kind of point you back to.
Yeah. And we'll explain helpmate in a minute, because it's not what you think. I don't think. But anyway, I think you guys have, you're born police officers, because I'm always amazed. Don't park there. That's not a parking spot. Don't go over here. You shouldn't be doing that. That's not the thing. You're going over the speed limit. And I always tell her, when we're driving, excuse me, but driving is not a team sport.
And I say, how do you know?
Yeah, that's right.
It could be.
Yeah. So when I get to the heaven, I want to ask the Lord, with maybe me and you standing there, and I'd say, Lord, I really want her badge number, because I don't. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, so men.
He probably has one too.
Yeah. For you. Yeah. Yeah. And then we got a 6-year-old granddaughter and she's got a badge number. Now, Grandpa, I don't think you should be doing that. It's like, what? Anyway, but I just want to get out that we have a covenant, and we as Christians in America don't understand covenant. But we do understand contracts, but contracts can be broken. Covenants with God are a completely different thing.
Well, and it's interesting too, because as Christians, like for us, there's a difference between covenant and commitment too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us will say, well, I'm not divorcing. We have a commitment and we're not divorcing and that's it. But that you don't take into consideration a covenant of yes, I'm going to walk this marriage out in covenant to the Lord, which is to honor him in every way that we can in our marriage.
Right. Even when you don't think there's any hope.
Right.
Because we were in those circumstances.
Well, I was thinking about it too. One of the really cool things is, you know, the one flesh and the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Until death do us part. And when our partner, whichever one passes first, we're still not left alone.
That's right.
We still have.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
I mean, the Lord knows everything about our marriage and was part of our marriage, and he's still there.
Yeah. And so we wanted to also bring this up. I'll finish it up with this. Baruch mentions in his talk that there's nothing impossible with God and that we need to let God work in our marriage.
Even if it looks like there's absolutely no hope. In repairing it.
Yeah, and he talks about in Matthew, the Lord gave only one circumstance, which was unfaithfulness on either side. But I got to tell you that the signs of a marriage starting to crumble are, if I'm saying this to you guys in this marriage, if you're doing pornography or if you're tracking women with your eyes, your wife sees that. And if you're doing that and you're making really bad jokes and your marriage, you've already crossed the line into adultery.
Right.
Seriously. And you need to seriously get on your face and repent, because pornography is highly addictive and rewires your brain.
Right.
And so I'm just calling it. I'm just calling it. I'm just saying it.
And it's dishonoring to the Lord, and it's dishonoring to your wife, and dishonoring to your children, and wrong.
Yep. And you're already headed for an affair.
Yeah.
So sex is a big deal, because it's the type of intimacy when you have God and you and your spouse in the relationship. He wants the type of closeness and intimacy of the one flesh. That really helped me and you in our relationship.
Right.
And so we need the fear of the Lord in our life. And the fear of the Lord, to me, to us, is the beginning of wisdom, because it's the fear to offend him. If we have the fear to offend him, a holy God who created us to serve him, then we're going to be really careful with what we are doing and saying and the way we move.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what other practical things can we give in this talk?
Well, I'd say, you know, as for me personally, one of the things that has helped me in our situation, because we got to a point where we really seriously didn't know if we were going to stay together or not. I was thinking back on this, because we're in the process of writing a book, and I've been doing some writing. And one of the things that happened for us is my husband, long before I came back to a strong commitment to my relationship with the Lord, had gone back to the Lord and started a serious relationship with the Lord. And the process of a man taking hold and doing what God has called him to do, which is to, you know, love the Lord with all your might and soul and mind, and to be obedient and respond to his ways and his purposes. In most cases, it might take some time, but in most cases, the wife will see that, because I think we're made that way, to will be drawn to that and want to come back together and try to figure out a way to make the marriage work. So I think the importance of either spouse, even if the other one's not at a place where they want to really commit to the Lord, and get, even if you're both Christians and one's, because it's the Christian in name is so common. Yeah, we're a Christian. We believe in Christ. We go to church on Sunday, but there's nothing more to it than that.
Yeah, and to us, that's called a filter. We have a Christian filter. We have a Baptist filter. We have a Pentecostal filter, a charismatic, whatever filter
Catholic
we have.
Filter, Baptist, the different filters. But
New Age, you can have a New Age filter.
But the point is still the same, is that the first step in having a solid marriage is you personally taking a step toward the Lord and asking the Lord to change your life and to change everything about what you're doing, so that your mind goes to serving him and his purposes, not your serving yourself and what's in it for you and for your own marriage. It becomes about the Lord and not about you. And when that happens, that's when change starts.
Exactly. And you brought up the thing of the change that happened for me. And, you know, we'd been going to church. We'd been, you know, you've heard our podcast, so you kind of know our background. But if you don't, we were in a church and it didn't work out very well. And I personally got angry at God. And so a numbers of years went by. I decided to take control of my own life and work on it. It's weird because it's, but anyway, the point was I got confronted by, I was in rebellion to God, and I don't care who you are out there, ask him. See, the problem is we view our hearts differently than the way he does. That's why we're starting out this thing. What does God think of your marriage?
Right.
And that's who you should be asking about it. Mm-hmm. So
we can fool ourselves real easily. Ooh,
Jeremiah, even, you know, in Jeremiah, it says, who can know it? Our heart's so desperately wicked. And while we're in this body, that's going to be a problem for us. Mm-hmm. But if you're in rebellion to God, which is the same as witchcraft, according to him, because you're in your own will and you're moving and you're not listening to him. And then if you're confronted with that, and then he also says, you need to get honest with me. And if you think you're an honest person, and then you find out how uncore honest you really are.
How uncore dishonest, you mean?
Yeah, thank you. Core dishonest. And I'm talking about little white lies so you don't hurt somebody's feelings. Sometimes you just don't say anything rather than lie. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Right.
Because your core honesty needs to get in. And then that's what has to seep into your marriage. Mm-hmm. Rebellion, if I live my life independent from yours, I'm not one flesh. And that's the problem with careers and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you each have two careers and you're going in different directions, nothing wrong with this. You just have to look at what can we do to, because I had a career that took me out of the home. It consumed my mind, mm-hmm. especially being a CEO, consumes 24 hours. And you knew it. You knew that I was not there.
Right.
And
you were there physically, but not emotionally, at times.
Yep. And when you said, when the company was gone and you said, don't take a job, find something to do with me, that showed me the most respect. It actually makes me a little emotional. I won't get there. But the thing is that told me how much you wanted to be with me. That showed the most ultimate respect. Mm-hmm. Men want their wives to want to be with them. Mm-hmm. We want them to want to be with us. And I'll just leave it on a nice high level.
Well,
I mean it in every area.
Right. But also, if you're a man and you don't want your wife to be with you, there's a red flag too.
And that's what pornography will do to you.
Right.
Yeah.
But also just getting your affirmation from what you're doing at work and how you're helping other people outside of your marriage and doing all the things that give you...
People would like you for.
Yeah, people would like you for.
Better make sure she likes you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and not just because, I mean, it is important, but it's scriptural.
And this goes for pastors too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem with churches. See, the ministry is me and my wife and the Lord in there, and our ministry is to Him. And then if it goes outside of that, it goes outside mm-hmm. of that. That's a hard thing for people because in the world system, you got to look successful, act successful, be famous, do all these things, or you're nothing. And in reality, you're nothing
without Christ.
That's exactly right. And if you don't know Christ, that's a good point to bring up. Take a look at His life. And then when you're done doing that, take a look at His sacrifice and take your sin and put it on Him by faith. And then be sorry for the sin that you have and then ask Him to change you. Because here's the thing that happened. I when we came back to the Word of God, one of the things that I did was take the Ten Commandments and go through the Ten Commandments and apply them to my life and mm-hmm. ask the Lord to show me. And my heart was so hard. Mm. I could tell, you know, when you don't have any emotion about any of that stuff. It's going to be a heart issue. So, what type of things can we give that are practical for people? Like, for example, we got the book Love and Respect. That's one thing that we did. We got books for our marriage and we started reading.
On how to communicate mm-hmm. with a Christian perspective on how to communicate with each other respectfully.
Yeah.
And dig things out of each other respectfully by asking. Well, we've talked about the imago, which is mirroring the other person and asking them, is this what you mean? We did a lot happened with that.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most seminal courses that we took. I forgot his name, but it's called Imago and it's a course.
It's a husband and wife, and weren't they both, were they both psychologists?
Something like that.
They were Christians, and mm-hmm. it was a really good, if I find it, I'll link it.
Yeah. But anyway, the Imago, you think when you're talking that you're not hearing each other like mm-hmm. the sponge because you're filling in the blank of what the person's trying to say mm-hmm. when you need to stop and say, is this what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Boy, I'll tell you what, that really...
Another thing for me, and this would be for people who have been married a long time or remarried and they all have adult children and grandchildren and that type of thing, would be making a disconnect in a healthy way from caring what my adult children think about if we make a decision on something that they might not think is right, or not that our kids would say anything to us, but there was that mother thing still there of like, well, these are my kids and I want to make sure they feel good about this and our choices so that they feel safe, and understanding that we're one flesh and we're a family now. They're one flesh with their spouses, or if they're still single, they're an adult and they have to have their relationship with the Lord. And if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, that I have to not take on that. I can't take on that weight. The weight that I should take on is prayer for them and just love them as my children. But that doesn't mean bending to their way so that I'll be accepted by them.
Yeah. And if they have a lifestyle that doesn't agree with that,
you can love your children.
That's exactly.
And they can have a lifestyle that you don't agree with, but you and still be able to have relationship with them without participating in
exactly
in that lifestyle.
Right. And I'm not going to I'm not going to let their decisions affect me.
Right.
My walk with the Lord. Right. That would be idolatry.
Right.
And so I think we need to be careful. I think what you're saying is we need to be careful about how much influence our kids can have in our life.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things that we didn't talk about is the things that tear the marriages apart. We talked a little bit about the personal stuff mm-hmm. between us, but we didn't talk about, you initially brought it up, but like family backgrounds.
Right.
So in my family background, briefly, we had a family that was kind of emotionally detached from each other. And my parents were originally involved in alcoholism, which affected my life, but they overcame that in a sense through AA and stuff like that. But the thing that what happened to me is in order for me to deal with the hurt and the things that happened in my life, I went into a mocking ridicule, telling stories about people and things that really were very hurtful.
And kind of joking about it.
Joking, yes.
Making light of it and so that the hurt wasn't...
Right. So if I shared, you know, what's really weird is I could share with somebody 25 years ago about, in joke about my mom or my dad or anybody. This affected lots of different areas of my life. In fact, the Lord was kind of revealed to me, I think, that there's a lot of people that I hurt because of that, because somehow these things find their way back to people. But anyway, I can't fix it. I can only ask the Lord to help with that. But when all of a sudden you have people that bring up and say, our family was greater to you than your family was. And you go, well, how did you get that? And because they don't know the amount of healing that happened in our family, especially the more we submitted our hearts to the Lord, the more healing the rest of our family had. Mm-hmm. They may not all agree. But there's that brings up a point in that we have external forces that are trying, that the enemy will use people. He can use us, even as Christians. We have to be careful.
Right.
But he'll use us and circumstances, our jobs, all these outward forces to take our relationship down.
Right.
He wants that covenant broken up. And in Mark 10, the Lord says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's a godly marriage. You can have a civil marriage outside of that and try to paint it any other way you want, but that's a marriage that Christ himself, who is God, said was a marriage. So what kind of things can you see from a family perspective that's trying to divide us?
Well,
because coming into a marriage, you got two external families.
Right, talking about that before, the different family codes and how they communicated with each other can be totally different from when you come together, and that can be really tough. In my situation, I became invisible, because if you didn't agree in our family, you would get shredded, maybe not to your face, but behind your back. And I was very able to observe that and become...
It's a good big warning for somebody, isn't it?
Right.
You fit in or else.
Right. So that affected, you know, that affected our marriage because of the, you know, wanting to have you become invisible with me.
Yeah.
So that, and not be who you were, even though I enjoyed or agreed with your opinions about certain things, just be invisible like me so that we can be apart. And then over the years, having to understand that's...
We really weren't apart, because we were talked about afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just an example of how, you know, and then you getting upset that, why are you being so invisible and not speaking your mind? Or why are you not letting them know who you really are?
Why did you go into your daughter, your sister and daughter role as soon as you showed up
at
the house? You're an adult now.
Right. So that's just one example. And I'm sure that can happen. There's other people who can identify with that too, of having to lay that down. It took me many years of our marriage to completely lay that down, and even walk away from some of the people in the family because of the mental gymnastics.
That's exactly right.
Me having to try to figure out how can I be me and still be accepted and not be talked about, and it caused pain and anger and fear and all the things. And so that's been very helpful for me for a healing process, and also a healing, for us, our marriage. Yeah. So that's one extended family can be a big hindrance or a wonderful help in addition to the marriage, but it still needs to be looked at as what it is, extended family.
Yeah, and you need to look at you as a son or a daughter need to look at your family in a real way. Don't idolize your family to a point where you can't speak the truth, and if people don't have flaws, everybody has flaws, and we love people because of their flaws too. And so make sure that you look at your family and don't say my family is better than your family or whatever. You just can't do that.
Right.
It doesn't matter anyway, because it's between you and God.
Right. And that's probably the biggest thing that I think both of us have learned is that we're one flesh, we're husband and wife, and we're a family, and extended family is, like I said before, extended family, and should have no bearing on how our relationship works. What should be important to us is our relationship before the Lord. And if we're doing His will and His purposes, and the fruit that we're bearing are for the good of the Lord.
Well, and I think too, if you look at, we have an opinion. If you have an opinion, then we get to share our opinion too. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like that opinion, then don't tread us. Mm-hmm. That's something I don't understand. If our opinion doesn't have equal weight and isn't respected, then that's really intolerance on the other person's part.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think and the other thing too is, if you don't want to be, we have a low tolerance in our life now for the lack of honesty. Mm-hmm. If we don't want to settle for ourselves being dishonest with ourselves, the worst thing you can do is think you're a good person and not put it up against the Word of God, because you'll be surprised. And just take the Ten Commandments to do that.
Yeah, it's important. We've learned through our marriage and for the better of our marriage to be brutally honest with our how dishonest we can be and we find that out by always putting our desire before the Lord and finding out many times that, boy, that was a bad one.
And you know what's weird is you may have a commitment to the Lord and you want to walk that out. Your family may have a different version of what their commitment to the Lord looks like. They want to walk that out. Sometimes they'll tell you how you need to change and be like them. That's intolerance. You know what I mean? So guard your relationship is what we're trying to say. Guard it from the things that are coming from outside of you guys, the world system, your own thinking, your own dishonesty, so to speak. Don't expect somebody that's a human being to meet your needs. Try meeting their needs before the Lord and see if your needs get met.
We're kind of getting off a little bit now.
Why isn't that?
But I mean, I think you can, there's some of what we're going through is pretty fresh. So it's easy to, talk on that. There's some deep hurts and things that we're going through ourselves,
right?
With extended family. So it's, it has affected our marriage in the past, and we're seeing how it's healed our marriage to seal that off and not let that take part in our relationship. So that's why I want to make sure that that you understand that we're in a sensitive area with that right now.
So Here you'll see a communication thing. So can you explain what I was saying that was...
Not that you were saying anything, that I think we spent more time on this section than we did on other sections of what we were talking about. And I think we spent more time on it because it's so raw and fresh for us. That's why, not that you did anything wrong or that we said anything that we shouldn't say, just that I think it's, you know, pretty apparent that it's something that we're going through ourselves right now.
Right. And I think it's a very good training thing for all of us to learn in our relationship, how to forgive people mm-hmm. and how to move forward.
And forgiving doesn't always mean relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially if it's toxic and
it appears that it's going to stay toxic, then that's not a good thing. So,
and then fitting in to fit in isn't our right. agenda. Yeah. Anything else that we should probably cover?
I think I really think zooming or zoning in on the importance of us as husband and wife being committed to helping the other remember that our responsibility as in a marriage is to glorify the Lord, and for each of us to, if one of us are weak, the other one should be strong enough to say, remember, this is our marriage, and are we in what we're doing right now, the decisions that we're making, how we're operating, is that glorifying the Lord? And when the other one is strong or weak, doing that, you know, for the other spouse, it's a powerhouse for us both to be able to be on the same page that we want to glorify the Lord in our marriage.
Right. And I'm going to have two more things for this very quickly. There are people that are sitting out there saying, every bit of love I have in my relationship is dead. And I don't know. I'm so wounded. And when you say I'm so wounded, don't think for a second you didn't do any wounding either.
Right.
So that's the other part about being honest, is be honest with yourself that you have responsibility too. So there are people that are sitting there right now with a lot of pain and saying, my marriage is over. I want out of it. I'm going to go along to get along. Yeah, Rick and Mary, thanks for reminding me that I got to suck it up and, mm-hmm. you know, do all this stuff. I'm going to say to you that one of the problems that you and I had in putting this together, I just realized what it was, because we had a hard time putting it all together. I think I know what it was. When you're in a place where we can look back and see where we were and how we needed a new house built, ours didn't work because it was our house. Mm-hmm. We thought we were doing the Christian thing, like you said. But when you can look back and you can see the peace, the joy, the security, the trust, the love, when you can see all of that, when you're living in that right now, and you can look back and you go, who did that?
You know without a doubt that it's the Lord.
And it's impossible, it makes me emotional, it's impossible to communicate to everybody here. If we could put one foot in front of our step and ask God to heal our marriage, that person that's sitting there thinking, I am dead in my marriage, I'm dead, blah, 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 you do one thing today, and that's in all of your pain, and you might not even be in pain, you just might be the jawbreaker. Mm-hmm. Take the jawbreaker, put it at his feet, and say, Lord, I'm done running my life. But I need your word. I need to be committed to your word. I need to know how to understand your word. I need to know how to do it. And it takes one step. Will you change me?
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid. One of the biggest things that you're going to be afraid, but one of the biggest things that happened for me was not being afraid to grieve. to grieve what I thought
my marriage would
my
be.
My marriage.
Me too.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda been what I want it to be, and it isn't. What I've done in my life or decisions that I've made that I shouldn't, or I wish I could go back and change, and lay that at the Lord's feet. And grieving is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Grieving is a good thing when you lay it at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, help me go through this and grieve through all the things that I need to, instead of get angry and act out and do things so that I don't have to feel this pain. And let walk me through one step at a time. You come out the other side. Not that I don't still have pain or things that happen. That's part of a process of living life. But like you said, I look and say, whoa, how did I get here from there? You know, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And you can think back and think of all the pain and the different thing hardships, but that it just dims. It becomes so, you know, unimportant because of where you're at now with, and the power of what the Lord can do, and the deepness and the richness of a relationship with the Lord, and a relationship as a covenant together. You're right. I think that's what the problem has been for us, is trying to, how do you relay that to people?
Yeah. How do you, and you take this cake and it's all God. See, that's what took us by surprise. That's why our Christianity, what we thought of Christianity, is not what we get in church or what, how we perceive. I'm not blaming anybody.
Right.
Can't, because but our Christianity is obedience to God's word. And when you say that to people, they just go, wow, you're legalistic. But no, this is God's word. I'm going to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And Lord, where I'm not supposed to take it literally or seriously, it's literature. Show me how. But show me how I can make you the king of my life. Mm-hmm. It's not my life anymore. You made me as a servant. How many times, if I made a lawnmower and the lawnmower says to me, I am not going to cut this grass, you would sit back and you'd go, well, that goes in the grass. That goes in the garbage. See, the thing is that that's a heart difference.
Well, I think also letting people know that it sounds like when we're talking that everything's great, you know, all the time. Yeah. And, oh, they must have attained what they need to. We never attain complete, you know, anything until we're in eternity with our Lord. I mean, we still have pain. We still have sickness. We have one child who won't have a relationship with us. We have pain like everybody else. And things aren't perfect. But the everlasting knowledge and confidence that the Lord will be there to walk through it with us, and even when we mess up and fall and make a mistake, that we can give it to the Lord and not kick ourselves for the rest of our lives because we made a mistake, that He's there as our Savior, our Lord, and for Him to be respected and honored and loved, but also to be hugged, you know, as a woman, to be, that I can run to Him and be hugged and comforted, you know, through any situation, from losing a husband to losing a son to gaining a daughter-in-law to having grandchildren to not having grandchildren, anything that comes our way.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting. It's a real testimony, too. I was telling Mary today that it's weird because I like spending time with her, and I don't want anything to get in the way of that. So I'm really careful about that. Mm-hmm. So, that comes, and we're so hyper diligent, but not in a, that sounds weird, but we want to be diligent about our relationship, but we want to honor God in such a way that He is moving in our life. And go read Deuteronomy 28, because that's the blessing and curse thing. Oh, I know what we have to do. We said about helpmeet. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is there's a word that you guys have all heard called Zechariah. And the word Zechar means male, and it also means to remember. And when you hear the Lord, you've heard it in our other podcast, but when you hear the Lord say, I remember, that's Zakar. And so it's Zachariah is my God remembers. And the thing is that we are helping each other remember our covenant with the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing, because he remembers our covenant and he's faithful to that. Mm-hmm. What we can say, and if you listen to Brooke's talks, is there anything impossible for God to fix? And the answer is no, especially as a creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. Got to get that in our head. So what we want to say is, if we could pass on to you, there's our relationship, but no, we haven't arrived, but our relationship is healed to the point where we can enjoy that. It's not anything like it was.
And confidently say that if somebody's
nothing
out there right now
for God,
with a relationship that doesn't look like it could be healed, confidently say, give the Lord a shot at healing it. Make him a part of the process of healing, and lay your own feelings and anger and resentment for the other spouse down, and put that at the Lord's feet and let him work through that.
And take that, what you just said about for your spouse, take that for anybody else, including extended family in your life.
Right.
Put that down on the thing. And you know what? Nothing ever had, you don't have to fix everything right now.
Right.
Let God do some of the fixing first.
Exactly.
And then get everybody ready. So where do you think we're at right now?
I think we're wrapping up this right now, because it's getting a little bit long.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's pray for everybody really quickly. Lord, we just ask for your kingdom to come on everybody that's listening. There is nothing impossible for the God of the universe, who created each one of us to serve him while we're living on this life. And there's nothing that you can't fix and you can't change. But you know what? It's your timing, your help that we look for. And Lord, we just ask for your kingdom to come on everybody listening, the hurting hearts that are listening, the people who are listening that even might be angry at us. Lord, we bless everyone, and we just ask that you would just move in people's hearts to want to serve you and want to have a vision that this isn't our home. This temporary life is not our home, and that spouse that you gave us, or a potential spouse that you gave us, is one who is going to help us remember our covenant with you. And Lord, we ask for healing for people. We ask for somehow that you would give vision to people that it stir in their hearts to want to be obedient to your word, the way your word says it is. And Lord, whatever the world says is the word, they're trying to twist it or whatever it happens to be, but we stand firm in you, and you help us understand your word. And I give it to Mary.
Lord, I thank you for this sweet time with my husband, and trying to explain it to some degree, how we've healed from a marriage that could have ended. And I pray that you would take these words, and how sometimes inadequate I feel to share my experience, that you would take what we've said and work in other people's hearts and lives to build their marriage and to repair their marriage, and give them hope that that you're there with them, and that you can you can create change out of things that look like they can't be changed. So I just give you all the glory and the honor, and thank you that you're such a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, listen, everyone, we thank you. If you have comments and stuff, please let us know. We want to bless everybody, and thanks.
Thanks, honey. Bye.